We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes.
I'm ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay, I'm ready.
KMOX News Time is 8:32. Welcome to Monday, March the 30th. I'm Debbie Monterey, and good morning, Charlie Brennan.
Well, good morning, Debbie. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Amy Markscores.
Good morning, Debbie.
Enjoy the day today. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. Kind of like, well, I guess like yesterday, but warmer and less windy. Did you guys blow away yesterday?
Yeah, I did have someone tell me, they said, if you go outside for a walk or a run, make sure you fill your pockets with coins or rocks or something so you don't blow away. But it was gorgeous. And there was something cleansing and reinvigorating about the wind. So even though it kind of threw you about at times, I didn't mind it. And my goodness, talk about how healing the sun is. Mm-hmm. I have all my windows open, and I'm so glad we have this weather.
Speaking of enjoying the weather, I'm just going to jump ahead here to our area parks, because we are able, thankfully, to enjoy the outdoors, go for a walk, go for a run, walk the dog, maybe do some bicycling. And we're blessed here in the St. Louis area to have a lot of parks. However, area parks are jammed. And last week, the city of St. Louis ordered all the playgrounds in the parks to be closed because parents were just bringing their kids to the playground and they're, you know, packed with kids on the equipment. Apparently, people are saying the parking lots at places like Cliff Cave County Park were jammed. Creve Coeur Park saw thousands of visitors. I know Tower Grove Park closed off the roads that go through the eastern part of the park because they wanted to make more room so people could actually socially distance themselves because things were getting so crowded. Do you think we'll get to a point when they have to close the parks, Charlie?
I hope not. I mentioned last week that while walking through Jackson Park in University City, which is part of my regular stroll, I happened to notice a lot of the kids playing on the monkey bars and the swing sets. And yesterday I walked through and there was police tape all over the swing sets and the monkey bars and et cetera. So I guess we're learning. You can't use the same things that other people are putting their hands on. But, you know, those parks are great for hiking, and you can hike and have a good conversation at 6 feet away. So it's really not all that difficult. I think really the challenge is we just have to get the word out. Habits are hard to change, but if we keep repeating the message that we have to be socially distancing, maybe we can slow down the spread of this virus.
And I know parts of Chicago along Lakeshore Drive, they had to shut down sections because so many people were packing those areas. Talk to my friend in Switzerland. They had to close the lakefront because people were congregating. I think as long as people don't congregate, aren't using playgrounds, which of course they're not supposed to now, then I think it should be okay because, yes, the Forest Park walking paths were crowded yesterday. It did seem that people were trying to respect the social distancing. But say you close those paths, well, then people will walk on the sidewalks and the streets, and then you have to take a whole new level of measures to keep people social distancing. So I don't think we'll get to the point where they close down the hiking paths as long as people don't congregate and respect social distancing.
I have an ethical dilemma. I don't know if you guys have thought of this or not, but there was you see people who are not socially distancing, right? I'm sure you've all seen large groups of people hanging out together. I saw a bunch of young people. They look like maybe college students playing soccer. And then just they were all very close together. And it made me nervous at this point because it feels like we should know better. But there was this very loud house party going on in my neighborhood over the weekend. And I didn't know about it until after the fact. But there were a bunch of neighbors saying, oh, my gosh, I could not believe there were dozens of people in the backyard and in the house, teenagers and adults, having this loud party. And people didn't know what they should do. Should they call the police? Should they say, hey, what are you doing? Should you just mind your own business? Any thoughts on what you would have done, Amy, if it had been your neighbors?
Ooh, you know, I think it depends on the situation, how well I know them. I wouldn't be opposed to calling the police if it were a party and maybe I didn't know them that well and there were a lot of people congregating. I don't think I would be opposed to calling the police. If it were somebody I knew or maybe a small group. I know a friend of mine saw like two or three families together, right? Obviously a few couples, a bunch of kids. I think it's totally within the realm of being reasonable to walk up and say, hey guys, let's try to respect social distancing. I think you have to be a little gutsy to do it, but I was inspired by one of the head nurse at the Mercy testing facility in Chesterfield, who said they told each other at the beginning of this, we're going to call each other out. You have to call each other out if somebody sees something that could be a dangerous practice. So maybe neighborhoods and communities should start calling each other out.
Well, it's been a big question. Why do some societies tend to obey rules better than others? South Korea and Germany seem to be lining up, and Spain, Italy, and some others, maybe the United States, not so much. And might be just part of the culture. You know, do you follow rules? Are you the type of person at 1 o'clock in the morning, if there are no cars on the street, do you actually obey the crosswalk? In Germany, they will. They'll stand there and wait. You know, when there's no traffic, they'll wait for the crosswalk. Other places, you know, maybe here, will jaywalk. And I don't know if calling the police, Debbie, is going to help at all. We had a report over the weekend that members of the police were coming down with COVID-19, and it wasn't really released. And then you find we're, you know, allowing people with nonviolent offenses to get out of jail. So what's the police officer going to do? Put cuffs on someone or just use a bullhorn from a distance? I'm not sure. I guess Amy's prescription is probably the best. Go up, tell the folks, hey, we're in a special time. You can't have this party. And who knows if that'll be effective.
All right. Well, when we come back, we, of course, have more coronavirus topics because, let's face it, that's pretty much our world, ladies and gentlemen. It's 8:39, but we do need to get traffic and weather together. Again, we have a gorgeous day in store, so that is our good news of the day.
COVID-19. Get the facts from St. Louis's trusted source for news. News Radio 1120 KMOX.
All right, it is 8:42, and on the line from their remote locations, it is Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Debbie Monterey. And President Trump said yesterday, guys, that the federal government's guidelines for social distancing would last until the end of April. And that is backing down from his previous comments when he said he hoped the country would go back to work by Easter. Those comments didn't sit well with public health experts when he suggested that those rules might be relaxed by April 12th. Was this a good move by the president, Charlie?
Yes, it was. And I think he was listening to his top medical experts, including Deborah Birx and Tony Fauci, who surprisingly were not given much time at yesterday's press conference. And at the very end, when we got to Mike Pence, and I don't know if many people were able to stay through all of this because it was more than a half an hour late, and then it ran for about an hour and 30 minutes, Pence was especially subdued yesterday. Was it because he was out in the sun just waiting, you know, through the president's remarks, or was he somber because of the news, you know, what they're seeing? And let's face it, the Easter deadline was much too rosy, and some people even think that April 30th might be too soon. So the month of April is going to be really a quiet, closeted month for America.
So let me ask you this. Let's say we are going to do this social distancing through May 30th, right? I'm just throwing that out there hypothetically. Would you rather have the social distancing deadline be extended week by week or every 2 weeks, or would you rather know May 30th at first? Because for me, I kind of like the small deadlines that keep getting extended. I don't know. I mean, you know what I mean? What would be better for you?
I don't know. May 30th seems so far away.
Right.
So does April 30th.
So does April 30th. But say we get to April 30th and they said, we've made it this far. We need one more week. I feel like I could handle that mentally better.
Charlie?
Well, you know, a couple of, not last week, but the week before, the president said we might be getting out of this in June, or rather July or August. And then he switched to Easter, and now he's April 30th. I really think that the deadlines, we just don't know. And we can't look to President Donald J. Trump for that kind of information. I just wish that he had put Tony Fauci or Deborah Birx up there so that we could get their estimates. They gave some of them on the Sunday morning talk shows, but during his press conference, I really would like him to give an encouraging word, step aside, and then let the experts tell us whatever they know based on the best modeling and scientific information at their disposal.
And I think some of the problems that we're seeing, at least around here, is we're not New York City. You know, if you're living in New York, obviously you are consumed with what's happening. And I think people feel like here we're kind of safe from it. And yet, over the weekend, Missouri's caseload of confirmed cases rocketed with a 600% increase in total cases over the past week, which is the largest percentage increase in the country. And this is according to Johns Hopkins University. Now, is this just the result, do you think, of more or better testing, or possibly because we were late in issuing stay-at-home orders or getting our ducks in a row? What do you think, Amy?
For me, my initial takeaway is it's the testing, right? We had so few tests in the past couple of weeks, and now they're just increasing. So you would expect the numbers of positive cases to increase exponentially.
Charlie?
Well, as everybody knows with statistics, when the numbers are low, they do tend to jump dramatically. Number one going to two. Wow, that's 100% increase. And so Missouri did have low numbers to begin with. So they're important, but they're not that significant until the sample size gets larger.
Let's talk about this $2 trillion. It's apparently called the CARES Act. Did you know it was called the CARES Act? Corona Act, something, something. Anyway, one of the businesses, apparently one of the industries not getting a bailout, or at least if Josh Hawley, our U.S. senator, has his way, would be the cruise industry. He doesn't want them to receive any bailout money. I'm not exactly sure why, but my goodness, the cruise industry is really hurting. I mean, everybody is, but who's going to go on a cruise right now? Why do you think, Charlie, that the cruise industry should or shouldn't get any help from this bailout?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, and the president has indicated in his press conferences he's kind of torn on this, the cruise lines always register under the flag of a different nation. They're always based elsewhere. That's not only because they register these ships where they're made, but also they're a tax dodge. Almost all the crew members are foreign. You rarely find on one of these cruises Americans working. However, all of the support for the cruises, especially in places like New Orleans and Miami and wherever there's a port, there are people who are providing food or excursions, or there's maintenance. It all comes out of these communities, which are clearly American. So in this round, anyway, from the federal bailout, the cruises, unlike the airlines, didn't get money. And I'm thinking that they will get something the next time around, but there'll probably be some strings attached.
Right. Carnival Cruise Lines is headquartered in Panama. Royal Caribbean is incorporated in Liberia. Norwegian Cruise Line is headquartered in Bermuda. And as you, Charlie, said, and as the Washington Post reported, it's often to avoid paying U.S. corporate taxes, to avoid U.S. labor laws. So when you look at cruise lines, you have to look at them as offshore headquarters and an offshore workforce that they don't have to pay the regular U.S. taxes or employ solely Americans. What's funny is Josh Hawley, the way he phrased it, he said, come back to America and pay your taxes. How about that? And I'm picturing that meme of that girl. I guess she was on Dr. Phil, who's like, meet me outside. How about that? And I think that's that's how Josh Hawley was looking at the cruise lines. Pay your taxes. Yeah. How about that?
I think the funny thing, though, is Debbie, isn't the head of Carnival a St. Louis guy,
yes,
Arnold
is.
Donald?
Yes, he is. That is interesting. I think he works in Florida, though, so they have their offices there. But yeah, it is interesting. And we need to take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk more about prisoners and flattening the curve. So stay with us here on Overtime, round three on the way. It's 8:49.
In case you'd like to hear more.
This is Overtime on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
All right, it's 8:52. Welcome back to Overtime, round three. Charlie Brennan, Amy Markscores, I'm Debbie Monterey. We talked last week about the release of some people from jails and prisons during this coronavirus epidemic. I do find it interesting, though, that over the weekend, I was hearing some reports from some major cities like Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago that crime was actually down. But if you just do a quick Google search of crime down, it looks like even some smaller communities, there's reports from all over the country that crime is down. Any thoughts? I mean, it's not huge, but I mean, anywhere from 10 to 20%, which, you know, I guess we'll take it. Any thoughts on why that might be, Amy?
Well, not exactly sure why crime is down unless people are just a little hesitant. Like, well, I don't mind robbing a store and going to prison, but I don't want to get sick. So maybe there is something to the fear. I'm just so uncomfortable, to be honest, Debbie, with this idea of these prisoners being released. And as it was reported in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, these were not nonviolent prisoners. You know, these were prisoners who had domestic assault charges, who had pedophilia charges. That's incredibly concerning. And maybe we just haven't seen the full ramifications of our decisions now. But Charlie has said it before, and I agree with him, that it seems very strange that we've got our prisoners released, but we're locking up the elderly.
Well, you know, it was an unreported story, maybe because of impeachment or the Battle Hawks or then COVID-19. But homicides in the city of St. Louis were trending way down for the first two and a half months of this year. And I haven't checked the stats this morning, but we had, you know, close to 200 homicides in the city last year, and we were way off that pace. So that was good news. We'll take that. And yeah, the city and the county have been really reluctant to release any information about the so-called nonviolent offenders who have been released from the jails recently. So a tip of the hat to Jeremy Kohler and Joel Currier, who did discover that in the county, for example, as you mentioned, Amy, one guy who allegedly molested a young girl has been released. And then in the city, inmates charged with violent crimes, including robbery and assault, have also been released. And I understand that there are some COVID-19 problems everywhere, but do we really want to send these individuals back into the community? I think 95% of our listeners would say no.
Well, Tom Ackerman and I were kicking this around this morning about why crime might be down over the past couple of weeks. So we thought, one thing is perhaps people who might commit crimes are also afraid of getting coronavirus, which would be a good thing. But also, it's hard to break into people's homes and burglarize them when everybody's home.
That, and there are fewer victims on the street.
Yeah.
You know, fewer cars to be carjacked, fewer people to be assaulted. Yeah, I, you know, like you, except for the parks, the streets seem to be largely empty.
Or, Charlie, or the exact opposite. For instance, like if you're running down, you know, down a city street, if people are out walking, there's safety in numbers. Kind of like you said, put people on the streets in downtown St. Louis and that will cut down on crime. I think in some areas, maybe runners and walkers are safer.
One police chief did say in all of these stories I was looking at about crime down that one thing they're concerned about as this, you know, home confinement continues is a rise in domestic violence, which I think we might actually see. But we're going to get on, we're going to get on this and find out if the numbers for crime are up or down in the St. Louis region. So keep listening to KMOX News for that. In the meantime, we'll take a break here for news at the top. And then it's Charlie Brennan and Amy Markscores. It's 8:57.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.